Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is a portion of the gospel of the second reading, where we read from Revelation chapter 7. The Lamb in the center near the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs filled with the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. These are the words of our text. Today is an important day for six of our young people. They will, in a few moments, stand before the altar. They will confirm the vows that were made in their baptism by their sponsors. And they will confess their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will state that even they would suffer death than give up that faith. Those are strong vows to make. And I'm sure that as you will stand here in a few moments, you have every intention of keeping those vows, keeping those promises. But there will be things that will want to lead you away from those promises. Your flesh, the devil, and the sinful world will all seek to lead you in another direction. Our Lord said to Peter, "The flesh is weak, even though the spirit is willing." Your spirit is quite willing today to make those promises, but your flesh will become weak in moments when friends are going elsewhere and doing things that perhaps you know a child of God ought not to do. The devil will constantly be harping you and seeking to lead you astray. There will even be people who you put your trust in who will want to lead you astray. Paul warns about them in our reading from Acts. You have every intention to be faithful to those promises that you make. Just as most everyone here today at one time stood at the altar and made those same promises and had every intention of being firm in keeping them, in being faithful to them. And I believe that. But I've also been around a while. I'm not dry behind the ears, but I'm not wet behind the ears either. You're about the 16th class that I've confirmed in my ministry. And every year it's the same. I will see you today. Some of you I will continue to see. Some of you I will see at Christmas and Easter. Some of you I will perhaps next see when you want to be married or at a funeral. That is the reality. Because that world and that flesh and that devil will want to lead you away. And they are strong. But John tells us in our reading from Revelation that the Lord, the Lamb, will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of life-giving water. He's the one that will lead you to the things that are beneficial for your life, not the world, not even friends or family sometimes will lead us in the right direction. But the Lamb will, because he's given his life for you. And as he promised the disciples, where he's gone, he wants us to be also. And so he will lead us there. But that means also being willing to follow where he will lead. and through the things that He leads us. In Psalm 23, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And sometimes our Lord will lead us through dark valleys and difficult situations. But He will always lead us to those green pastures and those still waters as the final destination. It will not always be an easy journey, but it will be a journey that you make with Him leading. And it is not a journey you make alone, but a journey that you make with your family of faith. And you will have people who will encourage you on that journey. We want to be faithful, but we fail because we're sinners. But God is faithful. God is faithful to the promises that He makes to us. And in our baptism, He made a promise to us that we would be His children, that His Son died on the cross for our salvation, and that He gives us everlasting life. In our unfaithfulness, we can always look to God's faithfulness. It's confirmation day, and of course that means what? Gifts, of course, doesn't it? Don't let it be said the pastor didn't give gifts. Now, this is also an instruction in listening. There's one for each of you. You cannot open it or peek until everyone's got theirs. And pastor says it's okay to open up and peek. Understood? Not a very spectacular wrap, is it? Pastor isn't cheap. There's a reason for that. What's it wrapped in? A paper bag. I could have gotten a nice, fancy, glitzy, glittery gift bags, couldn't I? But no, I had to get the old plain paper brown lunch sack bag, didn't I? Nothing spectacular or extraordinary about that bag, is it? But it's there to remind you that God did not use anything extraordinary or spectacular in sending His Son into this world, did He? He clothed Him in ordinary human flesh like yours. Ordinary blood, ordinary feelings of sadness and joy and grief and sorrow. Nothing extraordinary in the way our Lord comes to us in His Word, in the body and blood, in the bread and wine at the altar. Nothing extraordinary in the encouragement that He brings our way in parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends, is there? May the brown paper bag remind you that in very ordinary things, God comes to us with His very extraordinary gifts of life and salvation and forgiveness of sins. Now, you may open the bags and pull out what's in there. What's in the bag? You have to tell it loud so the people in the back can know because they can't see. Charcoal. Coal. It's not a very spectacular gift for a confirmation, is it? Something you get at Christmas when you haven't behaved, right? But there's something special about the coal. No, it's not special coal. But I want you to look at the coal. There are two different kinds of coal in there, aren't there? What does one of them look like? The one's used, isn't it? One's been burnt, hasn't it? You know what it's called? It's called a clinker. Some of your grandparents here, or aunts and uncles, or parents maybe had a coal furnace, and maybe one of their jobs was cleaning out the furnace, and they had to take out the clinkers. You know what a clinker is? It's a coal that isn't burnt all the way. And I hope that none of you become clinkers Because when you were baptized, God put His fire in you. The Spirit took up residence in you. But there is always the possibility that you could become a clinker, isn't there? As you come away from the fire of God's Spirit, as you come away from the gathering of His people, as you come away from feeding on His Word and on His sacrament and allowing Him to live and to guide and direct your lives, you can become a clinker. But there's something about a clinker. If I put that clinker in a fire, what's going to happen to it? It'll start to burn. It'll take the fire of the rest of the fire and it'll start to burn. It'll begin to glow and it'll start to burn. One time I heard a story about a young woman. She was in college and she had gotten into trouble. She was found herself pregnant with a baby. The father had left her. She had grown distant from her church. And she knew nowhere else to turn. So finally, in desperation, she called her pastor who had confirmed her. She said, "Pastor, I need to see you." And he said, "Well, come by the house and we'll talk." And they sat next to the fireplace, and while they were talking, and while the young lady was spilling out all of her life and how she had grown away from God and the church, the pastor was playing in the fire. And he, unbeknownst to her, had taken a coal out of the fire and had moved it out to the side. And through all of her conversation, that coal began to grow cold. And the pastor said to the young woman, "You see this coal? It's you. It's grown cold. But watch what happens when that coal comes back into the fire." And it began to glow and to burn. And chances are that you may move away from the church. You may get caught up in the world and in the life. But the fire is always there. And when you come back in, you'll always be welcome. And you'll begin to glow and to burn again with that faith that God has worked in you in your baptism, in which you confess again today. Then there's that other piece of coal. Yes, it's charcoal from the grill. So is the other one. I don't have a coal furnace. And it isn't because you're bad people. You may have not listened very well sometimes and been over exuberant at times, but that's youth, and I'm glad for that. You're a good group of kids. But what happens to a piece of coal under pressure and under heat? Didn't know you were going to get a science question today, did you? Under heat and under pressure, a piece of coal will become a diamond. You will endure heat and you will endure pressure in your life as a child of God. Sometimes the pressure will come from without, sometimes from within. Sometimes it'll be greater than you think you can stand. But our Lord tells us He will not allow anything to come to us that we cannot bear ourselves. And He will always give us what we need to bear under what comes our way. Now, maybe you look like coal to some people, ordinary, plain. And maybe we don't see it now, as sometimes you try our patience. Sometimes you try to flee the nest a little sooner than we would like you to. But I'm confident that through whatever trial, whatever pressure, whatever heat you endure in life, in the end, you will be a diamond in the diadem of that Lamb who sits on that throne. So, not very spectacular gifts. Not what one usually expects at confirmation. But that's why God's blessed you with parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. But I hope you take those gifts. Maybe once in a while look at that plain brown bag and remember the extraordinary things that God does in ordinary ways. Look at that clinker and be reminded that even if you become a clinker, God still welcomes you into the fire of His family. And that one day, no, already, you're a diamond. Maybe a little in the rough, but you're a diamond in the diadem, the crown of that Lamb sitting on the throne. May He who is faithful complete the work that He's begun in you and bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, to His glory and to your soul's salvation. Amen.